Bill Flores joins us this morning from D.C. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Howdy, Scott. Great to be with you on News Talk 1620.
Before we talk about things going on in D.C., I'd like to get your comments on what happened in Paris, the United States' response to that, and what do you think we need to be doing there?
Well, let me say this. I mean, the radical Islam is at war with the West. It's at war with the way we think about our freedoms and liberties. And I believe that, you know, we as Americans need to be ever vigilant about what's happening in the minds of some of these radical folks. And so, they've declared war on us. And in my view, we need to be at war against them and to defend ourselves. And, that's one of the reasons that we've got a Homeland Security funding bill coming up on the floor today to make sure that we provide the adequate resources for the Homeland Security departments to be able to fight this stuff. Also, we need to rethink the way we've been funding our military in terms of trying to deal with the threats around the world that come from radical Islam.
Now, let's talk about that, because you do mention that the Homeland Security is going to be on the floor today. Now, that's funding through September, but again, like everything else, there's other stuff stuffed in there having to do with funding on immigration. That may not happen. Tell me really what you feel like the course of this bill is going to be that you're going to start hearing today.
Well, let me say this. First, A, there is no funding for this amnesty action from the president. There wasn't in the short-term CR that was passed in December. There was part of the so-called Cromnibus. There was no funding for amnesty. The way the president is trying to fund his amnesty program is that there are fees that are collected from persons who are applying to be here legally. And what the president is doing is taking those fees, that funding, which is outside the appropriations process, and he's using that to put all these people that are here illegally to the front of the line to give them some sort of a work permit or license to stay in the United States legally on a short-term basis. So there was not, and there never has been, and this bill does not include any funding for the president's amnesty program. Now, more importantly, is that two things are more important. Number one is that it provides funding for the Department of Homeland Security that is commensurate with the risk this country faces from radical Islam and other threats. The second thing is we have five amendments that we're going to put on the floor today that will be part of the Homeland Security bill, assuming that they each pass, that deal with stopping the president's unlawful amnesty action. My suspicion is that all five of these amendments will pass, and all five of them clamp down on what the president's trying to do. And they also go back and stop his DACA actions, which caused the big surge of unaccompanied minors to come across the border this past summer. So I think the House is acting in a responsible way to stop the president from doing something he clearly doesn't have the authority to do, and which historically he said he doesn't have the authority to do.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. this morning. Of course, last week you passed the House passed their version of the XL pipeline. Debate started in the Senate yesterday. What are you hearing from that side of the building, and what's going to happen?
Well, Mike Lee, I'm the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, as you know, and Mike Lee is the president, the chairman of the equivalent organization in the Senate. And we had Mike Lee come over to our RSC luncheon yesterday, and Mike talked about what's happening in the Senate with respect to this. He said he thought they had about 63 votes to vote in favor of Keystone. He didn't know if they would get enough to be able to sustain a veto ultimately, but he did say that there are some Democrats in a pretty tight spot because Keystone has a 70% approval rating pretty much throughout the country. And so he and his fellow conservatives in the Senate are working to try to get another four or five Democrats to come on board to support this thing, not only when they have initial passage in the next few days, but also to be able to override a veto if once the president vetoes it, if the president actually decides to veto it.
Now, the Democrats hadn't wasted any time. They have they put together what they're calling a package of middle-class tax cuts. They use a really scary term in there, a paycheck bonus of $1,000 for individuals and $2,000 for married couples, and a bonus of $250 for people who save at least $500 a year. Mm-hmm. Now, I figure it's probably not going to pass, but, you know, here they are, the first week of the session, they've rolled out something that some Americans are going to want to hear about. Does it have a chance to pass? And if not, what are the good parts out of this that can be implemented?
Well, you know, I haven't seen the entire package, but if you look at what the Democrats are trying to do, they tried to come up with a package of things that poll well, and some that don't act, quite frankly. One of the first things they started out is, you know, trying to make sure that they can have do a lot of things to deal with climate change. If you look at the polling around the country, climate change is like the 16th item of priority on the minds of hardworking American families. And then they tried to come up with giveaway programs. The president has come up with free community college. Of course, there is no free because somebody pays for it, which means other hardworking American tax dollars used to pay for that. Then they try to get a giveaway. Somewhere down the road, I hope the Democrats will come to the conclusion that the best thing for American families is more jobs and better paychecks. And that's the type of agenda that we've tried to come up with in moving forward. We need to create an environment where we have more economic opportunity for hardworking families, more jobs, better paychecks. The Republican Study Committee over the past 3 days has put together an agenda called Get It Done. For the 114th Congress, and this is one of the key issues, along with national security, protecting values, limiting the size and scope of government, and so forth.
Well, you know, again, paycheck bonus is something that a whole lot of people would really like the idea of, and free community college. I mean, that's a real short speech right there, and that's something that people can plug into. So, I mean, I understand the Republicans have some plans out there, but they haven't done as good a job as the Democrats of coming up with things that are resonating, I don't think.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with that part. Sometimes we as Republicans and conservatives tend to be much more independent in the way we communicate, so the Democrats will put together a set of coordinated talking points. They come from the White House and they go through the minority leader in each of the House and Senate, and they're all pretty much on the same page, you know, with the same chatter and the same talking points. I think we as Republicans need to do a much better job of that. Now, our conference in the House does a great job of putting out talking points that make sense based on our agenda. Unfortunately, we just don't have many people that follow that. It seems like you've got 246 GOP members in the House, and there's 246 better ideas about how to do that. So consequently, we don't all sound the same.
Bill Floor is joining us this morning. Well, all right, well, let's stop here a minute and look then. You mentioned the community college plan that the president has put forth. Obviously, you have a community college, a couple of them, in your district. So how do you feel about the president's plan? And if not, is there something else that you'd like to see that would promote enrollment in community colleges?
Well, the problem with community colleges, I think, serve a critical role in the education of America's young people and to help prepare them for careers, along with our trade schools and quite frankly, along with our four-year colleges. But the thing, if you talk to young people that are in college, the thing they care about the most is, what am I going to do when I get out? Where is the paycheck that I'm going to get? I mean, when you have 50% of college graduates today that are going back to live with mom and dad, now that means the president's other policies have created an environment where their education is of limited value. And so I think we as conservatives, we as Republicans, need to focus on what do you do to create an environment where those folks can have a job and have a great paycheck and become part of a productive middle class, if you will. And so I think that's what we need to focus on. I mean, we can cram more people into community colleges. That's good. And we put more people in technical school and more people in four-year colleges. But at the end of the day, we need to make sure that they've got jobs when they come out so that they can be productive members of society like they want to be. So I think that's the fallacy of the president's program. I mean, he's probably poll-tested it well, but it doesn't get to the core issue, and that is that his economic policies have been a failure, particularly for our youngest people.
Finally today, Roe Labrador, he's an Idaho Republican congressman. He has said he doesn't want to be part of the Republican, he may want to continue to be a part of the Republican Study Committee, but he wants to splinter off and have another group. Roe Labrador is on TV a lot. I mean, he looks to be, has been in the past, the face of the conservative wing of the party. Isn't that basically where the Republican Study Committee needs to be? And therefore, you as the lead.
Well, yes, we do. And that's one of the things. For instance, I was just on C-SPAN yesterday morning to presumably a national audience. And we have 150-plus great members of the Republican Study Committee. And many of them are on TV not only locally in their respective districts, but also regionally and also nationally. And I will be doing the same as the chair of the organization.
Now, is there something, though, that you want to try to do to placate them? I mean, he's saying basically this is a K Street, that's the lobbyist, a K Street agenda that the Republican Study Committee is putting together, and you as chair would need to answer to that.
Well, I think that he hasn't seen the agenda yet because he hasn't shown up in any of our meetings to help put the agenda together. So I think that, again, every now and then, Mr. Labrador will make comments that just don't match up with what the reality is. So, for instance, when I won the chairmanship back on November the 18th, he came out and said I was the leadership's pick for this particular position. Well, and that's just patently, that's inconceivable, because if anybody had claimed to be the leadership pick, or had there been any dissent that any of the folks that were running for the RSC chair were patsies of the leadership of the House of Representatives, meaning Boehner, McCarthy, and Scalise, then that person would have lost, because nobody wants to have anybody that has that scent of being associated with leadership. So, you know, every now and then he just says things that don't match up with the reality. It's unfortunate. I'll visit with him about it, and I'll make sure he knows exactly what our agenda is. But it's based on, you know, creating an environment of more jobs and better paychecks. And that sounds like tax reform, regulatory reform, litigation reform, repealing Obamacare. You go to the next thing, it's rebuilding our national security, which most Americans are feeling pretty uncomfortable about today about their national security. It talks about restoring limited government, trying to shrink the size of the federal government, and protecting values, being pro-life, protecting religious liberties, things of that nature. And for that to be called a case to the agenda just goes beyond the pale.
Well, we don't have time. We've run out of today, but I know y'all's retreat starts today, so I hope y'all can get together, and maybe you'll have more congenial news when it comes to the Republicans when it comes to next week. Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. We'll look forward to hearing about that retreat next week.
Thanks, Scott. I look forward to visiting with you next week. I'd ask our listeners to continue prayer for our country, our military men and women, and our first responders.
All right. Thanks for the time. News Talk 1620, WTAW.